Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Thank you. Come on, let's give Jesus a huge ovation. Come on. Oh. I haven't spoken for a month, so feeling good, feeling fired up, ready to bring the word. But right now, we need to pray. I have never known a time in the 42 years, I know it only looks 32, but it's actually 42 years of my life where we need to pray. And, you know, I sent a tweet out this week. This is how we fight our battles with praying hands. And I'm not talking about an emoji. I'm talking about we need to pray. Our church, we need to pray. The world seemingly feels and seems and is out of control right now, but God is in control. And so wherever you are right now, I'm asking you, unless you're driving your car, to stand up. Okay, because we're going to pray. We are going to call down heaven. We're going to pray for our government. We're going to pray for our world. We're going to come against this evil disease. We're going to come against the pandemic called fear, which is sweeping our earth. And we are going to pray right now. Would you pray? If you're with your spouse, would you grab hold of their hands? With your children, pray right now. We're going to pray. I'm giving you time. I'm talking because I want you to pray. I want you to take this moment seriously. I don't want you just flicking through Instagram right now. Put the phone away. We're going to pray. We're going to call down heaven. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, then we would see our healing in our land. So Father God, right now, we come to you in the name of your son, Jesus, Yeshua, and we pray by the power of that name for breakthrough in this land, Father God. We need you. We need you, Father, like never before. Father, we cannot keep going the way we're going. Lord, I pray, Father, for a supernatural turnaround in this situation. I come against COVID-19. The name of Jesus is above and beyond that name, Father God. I come against fear in people's lives, in people's homes, in people's businesses. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I speak peace and I speak freedom into every family right now. Father, I thank you that you hear our prayers, Father God. Come on, you pray right now. You pray. You keep praying right now. I believe God is going to turn around this situation for his glory. We thank you, Father God. Thank you, God. Oh, I wish you were all in this room right now. There's just a handful of us, but we're experiencing the power of God. God is going to turn this situation around. Come on, come on. God is not putting fear. He's putting peace into people's hearts and people's minds right now. Thank you, Jesus. Speak faith, speak hope, speak life into this situation. Have your way, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Father, you are still in control. In Jesus' name. Amen. Whoa. I love the power of God. I love the Spirit of God. We've been listening to too much nonsense on the radio and on the TV. Got to fill our minds and fill our hearts with God's Word. Come on. You can take a seat. Come on, you everybody, take a seat in your living room. I'll get you back up in a few minutes. Don't get too comfortable. Well, we've been in this Freedom series over the past 5 or 6 weeks. It's been a great series. And last week, Steve spoke a brilliant message about freedom from fear, freedom from the fear of what's beyond this life, and it was outstanding. If you haven't caught up, make sure you catch up on iTunes, on YouTube, on Spotify, all the different platforms. Also, Chantel spoke a phenomenal word on freedom and forgiveness. I don't know about you, every time, I've heard Chantel's story one or two times, but every time I hear it, I really feel like, you know, it's a story that she lives. So if you haven't listened to that and you struggle in that area, make sure you share that message with someone. Tag people in our church as well. And share the message today. Our series verse, John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. The Bible says the only way to true freedom is through Jesus. Now, I'm going to share a message today. It's a message that I would not have been able to speak 12 months ago. It's really a reflection and some perspective of the journey that I've been on, and I know many people have been on over the past 6 months. It's been one of pain, trying to understand the season we're in. I don't understand what's happening right now, just like most of us, but I do know that God has not left us. God has not left us in this season. And God is using the disappointments, He is using the setbacks, the challenges, the dismay that we have faced to grow certain areas of our lives that maybe couldn't have grown in a whatever is a normal season. Now, today is not polished. Today is probably a little bit different from anything I've spoken about before, but it's going to really come from my heart. Not that I normally don't speak from my heart, but I want to speak from my heart a little bit more openly and honestly. Is that okay? Chantel and I have, as I said, we've been away for a week or so, and God has clearly given us some fresh direction for the church and spoken to us about some areas of our lives personally, but also for the church moving forward. And we declared on Vision Sunday in February that 2020 is the year of build. How many times have I questioned myself on that one? I mean, why didn't we call it the year of pushing past pain? Why didn't we call it a whole lot of other things? Why the word build? And I've questioned myself, Chantel and I have asked ourselves numerous times. I've questioned God, did I miss this? Our key scripture for Vision Sunday came from Matthew 16, 18. He says, and I tell you, Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not overcome it. This wasn't just a statement, it was a prophecy. I will build Soul Church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Let me tell you, the gates of hell are trying to prevail against the church. But guess what? The church is still alive. The church is still moving forward. And we are still building. If I'm honest, the build I was hoping for was bricks and mortar up on Heartsease Lane. This season, September, October, we were believing to put a spade in the ground and start putting the foundations in for our new church. And as this year has progressed, I've realized that the build I thought was a very different build. That God was going to build Soul Church, and I can only speak for our church, but God was going to build Soul Church in a very different, unique way in 2020. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." You see, I'd planned, I'd thought it, I'd prayed about it, but God said, hey, you got the word right, but I just had a different strategy for 2020. And if I'm honest, I love and miss church. I love the big church setting, the experience. There's nothing like being in the room with hundreds, sometimes thousands across a weekend. Believers coming together, lifting hands, worshiping, watching the faces of people as they come in for the first time and seeing God do something in the middle of this big auditorium. But I've also realized that this is just a building without you. As many times our team and staff have just walked in and it feels empty. Just like if you've ever sold a home and once you moved all the furniture and once the family's moved out, when you walk back in, it just feels like a shell. Because church is people. I miss conference. I miss Hillsong Conference. Those 3 days, there is nothing like it. Being in a room of 25,000 plus people with a big preacher and a big worship team and the lights and the experience, and I love it. And it's been a huge missing piece of the puzzle for us this year. Then suddenly, in March, COVID hits. And the big experience, the big encounter, the big worship moments are removed overnight. I want to be vulnerable here for a second. Sundays have been torture for me. I've been grumpy. I've been frustrated. I don't know what to do because, and let me tell you, our creative team and production team, haven't they done brilliant? I don't know about you, but our online experience, I'm so proud of every one of our staff and team for what they've done to take what we had in the room and somehow try and make something of it and put it in the cloud. But it's different and it's not the same. It's just something about being together in one place. Let's just park that thought there for a second. Let's backtrack 30 years for those who can. Some of you are in minus 10 and minus 20. Okay, but I was 2 years old 30 years ago. Let's backtrack 30 years. So I was 10, 11, 12, around those age. For those who can remember what church was, I'm not just necessarily talking about this church. I'm talking about your experience of church. All I know is, unless you grew up in the Bible Belt of America, church was a whole lot smaller. I grew up in a church of 100, 150 people for many years. There was no one in a high-vis jacket welcoming me to church. There were no flags out the front. They had flags inside, but we won't talk about those. There was no coffee experience before the service. There was no barista. We were very comfortable with someone who couldn't sing and couldn't play guitar leading us in worship. There was no 4K LED back screen. And communion, let me just talk about communion. One cup, 100 plus people, and we all shared it. We had a little cloth. You give it the little cozy polish. I mean, that was church. But somehow, we still experienced God. We still had an encounter with Jesus. The room was smaller. The production was smaller. The worship guys, some of them could and some of them couldn't sing, but somehow we still had an encounter with Jesus. So I was on holiday and God challenged me. I was going for a run one afternoon and God challenged me with this question. John, are you not comfortable finding and encountering me anymore in a small setting? Now this is challenging. By the way, I could not have spoke this 12 months ago. Because like you, many of you, especially if this was the room or if this was the time where you experienced and you found Jesus as your personal Savior, many of you, you're used to the big room, the big conference, the big youth gathering, the big tent, the big atmosphere, the big worship team, the big preacher, the big. We're used to the big. The challenge is we've reduced our experience of God to the big. So when we're forced into the small, we struggle. And I've struggled. And I know many of you struggled. Church numbers online, I'm not going to lie, they're dropping and they're dropping quickly. And not just Soul Church, I'm talking about churches all over the world. Why? Because we cannot relate to a big God in a small setting. We cannot relate to God in our front room. We cannot relate to God on a podcast. We found God in the big. All we know is big. And if you remove big, you remove God. Yeah. So what is God saying in this season to us as Soul Church? God did not send Corona. Corona is from the enemy. But God takes what the enemy meant for evil and he turns it around for his good. Genesis 50:20 says, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about the present outcome." God says, look what the enemy's done. He says, but I've got an outcome. I've got an outcome at the end of whenever this is all going to end. And let me tell you, the outcome is not what the enemy can see, because the enemy can only see the present. And God wants us to find a new freedom in this season. That was the intro. I want to talk about freedom in the small. Freedom in the small. God wants us to find freedom and connection in Him in the small setting. Many of us have experienced and found freedom in with God in the big. And I love big and I miss big and I want big back. But small is the season right now. Small is the new big in your relationship with God. And God is releasing again in Chantal and I, an urgency and a hunger for small. We will never lose the hunger for big. There is no one who wants to see this room packed full of people more than me. But God says, we're not where we need to be yet. We're not ready for that. I need to do something unique in you in the small, because I'm preparing you not just to go back into this room, but I'm preparing you because no eye has seen, nor ear has heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So God is going to release a new freedom into my life through the small. I'm going to share with you three steps to finding freedom in the small. I want you to write these down. Three steps. They're really simple. Most of my messages are. I leave Steve to do the complicated stuff. Number one, we've got to accept a big God in our small setting. Yeah. We've got to accept it. Trust me, it's taken me 12 months to get here to accept it. A big God is quite at home in a small setting. The small setting of your front room, the small setting of your group, the small setting of your daily work, the small setting of your office. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus spent most of his time in small settings, small groups, small homes, up a mountain, around tables, in fishing boats. Luke 22, 29. Luke is describing one of the habits of Jesus. It says, and he came out and went, and as was his habit, to the Mount of Olives. Jesus had a habit of being alone with the Father. Jesus went on the Mount of Olives. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel. Chantal and I have had the privilege of visiting Israel. We've climbed the Mount of Olives. It's an intimate, small setting where Jesus went to be alone with his Father. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, the one who spoke to thousands, 5,000, 4,000, he was very much alone on the side of a mountain with his Father. Why? Because it was his habit. It was his small place of intimacy. I want to challenge us here. Where is your place of intimacy with God? Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you have a secret place? Do you have a secret place where you and God get to encounter one another? I know the address of my big public place. It is 4 Mason Road, and I am very comfortable to come in here, and it is packed, and I can slip in, and I can lift my hands. This is my big public place. Do you have a small, intimate place? God is very much at home in this building. He loves it. He misses it. He longs to see you back here, but he also longs, and he is very much at home in the small setting of you and him. Jesus said in Matthew 18, 20, he says, where 2 or 3 gather in my name. He didn't say where 2 or 3,000, lest he's there, but he's very much here when there's 2 or 3. When you're in your kitchen with your spouse and you grab the hand and you say, right now, we need a miracle in this situation. Jesus is here. When you're feeling afraid and your kids are struggling and you grab the hand, Jesus, the big God of the universe, the creator, he's very much at home in your car on the way to drop the kids to school. A big God is at home in a small setting. Do not limit God to this room. Do not limit God to a conference. Don't limit God to, I'll get back spiritually when I get back in the room. I don't know when we're going to be back in the room. The enemy wants to steal your faith in this season. God's at home in a small setting. But here's what I've realized. Once I understand someone is quite at home in my setting, I will then have confidence to invite them in. One of my best friends growing up, he had a big house, a massive house. We had a 3-bedroom, well, it was a 2-bedroom bungalow, and we turned the garage into a third bedroom. I remember I was a little bit embarrassed the first time I brought my friend around to our little bungalow. It was just a tiny little bungalow, and he lived in this massive house. I remember he said to me once, he said, you're ever going to invite me in? You know, sometimes, first of all, God wants you to know that he's very much at home, but you've got to invite him in. Yeah. Often in a big setting, Second thought is this: you got to invite a big God to do a unique work. You got to invite him in, except he wants to come in. Then you got to invite him in. Invite a big God in to do a unique work. You know, often in a big room, and many of us have done this, we can ride the wave of the room. We can ride the wave of the worship. We can hide under other people's faith. You can slip in at the back with your coffee and sit down. And you can walk out and leave, and no one will really notice in a big room. Small settings, things get exposed. That's why marriage counseling is better than a marriage seminar. You can go to a marriage seminar and you can watch something. Oh, that sounds good. But when you're counseling, someone's going to go, hey, I need to ask you in front of your spouse, what happened then? You ain't got nowhere to hide. And God is saying, hey, I can do something at the marriage seminar, but hey, I can do an even greater work in the counseling session. You see, in small settings, things get exposed. And God is waiting for us. First of all, we've got to accept he's comfortable, but then he's waiting for us to invite him in to those intimate places. He wants to come into your conversation. He wants to come into your work situation, but God will never push himself in. Small groups are the heartbeat of what we do, groups as a local church. They are the glue. And obviously right now, those groups need to reduce right back to 6. Thanks, Boris. But whether your groups meet virtually, online, whether your groups meet, wherever they meet, it doesn't matter right now, as long as they're in 6 or below. Do not reduce your group just to a gathering. I want to talk to all group leaders in our church, all group leaders who are watching from other churches. Sorry if I'm stepping on your pastor's toe, but I feel convicted to say this. We cannot allow our groups to become community hangouts. We have to accept, number one, that God wants to get involved in the smallness of our big lives, but we also have to understand that God wants to be invited into the group. It's like someone is standing on the outside of the room and we don't let them in. And God can see the pain in the group. He can see the frustration. He can see the issues. And God's saying, would you just let me in? Because if you let me in, guess what? Something unique could take place in your group, which means I want all of our groups to start having prayer. I've been leading a group and we've slipped away from some of the spiritual stuff in the room. And so we're going to bring prayer back. We're going to bring prophecy back. We're going to bring encouragement back. We're going to bring the word of God back, because it's that which brings transformation in people's lives. Don't reduce your group to a gathering. So we're going to have to shift our paradigms. But John, I don't know how to pray in public because it's uncomfortable. Start with the Lord's Prayer. Why don't all of our groups say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Oh, what will people think on the golf course if we're saying our Father? I don't know. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're in a cafe. We can't despise, the Bible says in Zechariah, the day of small beginnings. We've got to bring God back. God is not moved by a big room, but an open heart. If we think God is impressed with this, we've got this wrong. It's our hearts. It's our hearts. He desires us. The question is, do we desire him, or do we desire the box we put him in? Do we desire God, or do we desire this box? Because some of us are missing the box more than we're missing the creator of the box. And God is saying, I want to come in, but you've got to invite me. Invite me in. What God can do in a small setting is often very different to what God can do in a big setting. And often what God does in a big setting is often very different to what he does in a small setting. When I go to Hillsong Conference, it's often very different to what happens in my daily devotion. It's not an either or, it's both. It's this is, we are just in a season of small. And God is saying, hey, trust me, I'm in the big. I've given you the plans for the 1,200-seater auditorium. You're going to see that church explode. But hey, we just got to park that for 5, 10, 20, whatever it is, minutes, days, months, years, whatever it is, because I want you to get comfortable in the small. Small settings allow us to get personal. You can't get personal in a big room quickly. I love going to a party. My wife likes it even more. My wife is the queen of the dance floor at a wedding reception. When we get back to a wedding, I mean, she lights it up. I'm the guy in the corner with the Diet Coke, tapping, and she's dragging me on, and, you know, we're doing ABBA songs and all that. I get it. But people never open up their hearts at a big party. People open up their hearts at the dinner table when there's two or three people. The smallness of prayer on the golf course, communion in the cafe. Miracles are waiting to happen in the small setting. But God is saying, you've got to invite me in. I've shared this story before, but I'll share it again because it's a good one. First time I ever encountered a miracle was when I was about 10, 11, 12 years old. I can't remember. All I know, I was young and we didn't have any money at home. And we had some tomato soup and some crisps. I remember Dad saying to the family, we're going to take hold of each other's hands around a small table, small setting, and we're going to invite a big God into this situation. Dad had been laid off from work. He was unemployed. Mum was a dinner lady in the local high school, and we had no income. I remember as a young boy, that's a concern. I know many of you can relate to that right now. Maybe you've been laid off and our hearts are with you. I remember we took hold, the four of us, my sister, my mom, my dad, we took hold of each other's hands and we prayed. We prayed for a miracle. Remember, this is 30 odd years ago. We went into the crisp bag. Mom went into the crisp bag. When she went into the Walker's or the Sainsbury's packet of crisps, there was a £5 note at the bottom of the bag. This is seconds, if not minutes, after we just prayed. Now, to all the cynics out there, that was just a coincidence. Let me tell you, Jesus put money in fish. And I saw at 12 years old that God was real. Didn't happen in the setting of a church. It wasn't at a conference. It was in the intimate setting of my dad having faith in front of us as a children. Number one, to admit he didn't have the capacity to buy the groceries. And he said to a big God, come in right now into this small setting. We've got some soup and some crisps and we need you to move. You say, well, what's £5? That's just a cost of coffee and a croissant. No, 30 years ago, that was a week's groceries. Miracles are waiting to happen in a small setting. Do not wait. Do not put God in a box and say, I'll wait till I get back into the room. I'll wait till I get back to Mason Row. No, God wants to break out in your business, in your work, in your office, in the cafe. But you've got to invite him in. It's taken me 12 months to get here. What God can do in this pandemic is unique. He couldn't have done this 12 months ago. He said, I want to show you another side of me. Number three, finally. Tickle those ivories, Jin. We got to believe. We got to believe for a big God in our small encounters. Now, again, I need to be open with you as a church. Always have been, always will be. One of the travesties of COVID is we are not seeing people find Jesus anywhere near the level we did when people are in the room. We're just not. We can pretend we are. People connect online and people have an experience, but very few people will always, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, we will always put out a call for Jesus at the end of every message. Whether it's in the room or online, that's a guarantee. But this is the challenge. Please hear my heart. We have reduced salvation to the room. And we've had a formula. And up until March this year, the formula was good. It worked. Build a friendship. Invite someone to church. hopefully the guy at the front will speak a good word, or the lady at the front will speak a good word, and someone will put their hand up, someone will spot you, someone will come afterwards, put a Bible in your hand, you'll fill out a card, you'll go on the soul track, join a group, and off we go. God's like, that ain't my formula right now. That's not how it's working. And so what we've said is, we'll figure it out when we get back to Mason Road. And God said, no. Jesus said this, he said, repent and be baptized. He didn't give us any other formula than that. By the way, that's why we're not canceling baptisms. Because Jesus said, he said, you got to repent and be baptized. He didn't just say repent, he said be baptized. We've got nearly 40 people who are going to be baptized. By the way, in bubbles, before you write me an email. But we cannot go 12 months or more without people finding Jesus just because we got comfortable with a seasonal formula. What if God is changing how people discover him in this season? What if he's just turned this whole thing upside down and said, you know the whole thing where you're friendly, invite people, you sit next to them, save them a seat? What happens if I go, you know what, that was great for that season, but what happens if I'm going to do something unique? What happens if the responsibility has shifted from the preacher on the stage to the preacher in you? What happens if things have just shifted and we've missed it? My dad has never left a conversation with a person who didn't know Jesus without giving them an opportunity to know him. And I have been challenged on this. We were abroad last week and Chantal and I got chatting to this beautiful family from Scotland. And if you're watching, great. Glad you joined us. We miss you guys. We got chatting to this beautiful family and didn't really have any experience of church or God. I felt God challenge me before we left them to pray for them. That's weird, by the way. Because what are they going to think of me? What are they going to say? What happens if they say no? All these questions. And God was challenging me. Don't limit people finding Jesus to the building. Don't limit it to the seasonal formula. That formula may well come back, but the formula right now is different. So I said to this guy, I said, hey, Jim, can I pray for you? He said, why not? I prayed for him. I said, I know I'm breaking the rules, but can I just put my hand on your back? I began to pray for his business, for his family. Told him all about church. He went back and he watched all of Chantel's message from Sunday. Do not limit God. Do not limit people finding Jesus to the four walls of a building. God, forgive us. In every conversation, we have a responsibility. I remember going to Carrow Road as a child, not to watch Norwich. I remember seeing Billy Graham at Carrow Road. Awesome in 1985, whenever it was. Since then, I've seen Reinhard Bonnke, I've seen Benny Hinn, seen many of the great evangelists of our day. But I've been challenged with this question. Would my faith continue to move forward if I was never in a big room again? Would my faith continue to move forward if I never experienced a big room again? Is my faith reliant on a big room or a big God? Are the people in my world who are going to a lost eternity, are they reliant on me inviting them here? Are they reliant on me having a conversation with them outside of the room? And I'm challenged. I hope you feel this. This is for me. I'm preaching and you're listening in my front room. We used to be a large church with small groups. Now we need to be a small church with many small groups, with thousands of small conversations. The only way your faith will survive in this season is to discover that God is just as much at home in a big building as well as a small setting. He is just as able to save your friends in a coffee shop, on a train, in a bus, in your front room, in your bubble, as he is in the room. We've got to accept a big God into our small setting, but not just accept it. We've got to invite him in to do a unique work. The work is unique for this season. And then we've got to believe God. Believe God for the encounters. I'm believing God for Heart for the House this year. It's crazy to think we've not gathered all year and we're even attempting to do a Heart for the House. I believe a big God can move in people's hearts, can move in people's minds, can move on the individual. You've got to accept that he's at home. You've got to invite him in because he's ready. And then we've got to believe for miracles. Let me pray. Let me pray. Would you close your eyes? Just a moment, Rachel's going to come up. She's going to pray for a group of people. And I'm believing people are going to find Jesus. But before they do, if you've been challenged by this message, if you've been challenged and it's been a challenging message to speak, some messages are really easy to preach and others are more challenging. And this is more challenging. But right now in your front room, I'm going to invite a big God to come and move. Maybe you thought, maybe you limited God to this room. Maybe you limited God to a conference. Maybe you limited God to something else. But right now, I pray, I want you to accept that a big God can move on your small business. Accept that a big God can move on your bank account. Accept that a big God, he is very much at home, but he needs to be invited. And he will do a unique work. So Father, we're in a season of not knowing. I pray today that people will understand, even though you are huge, you are big, you are the creator, you are so at home in the small setting of our front room. You're at home in the car with us. You are everywhere, and you love being in the intimate places of our lives. We're sorry for keeping you on the peripheral. We're sorry for pushing you out of our groups. We're sorry for making it all about the social aspect of our lives. We're sorry for thinking we can get through this season without you. And we, right now, we accept and we invite. I want you to invite Jesus right now. I don't care if you've been following Jesus for 50 years. I want you to invite him again into your presence, into your room, into your office, wherever you are, into your car. Invite him. He is waiting. He wants to move. He wants to give you strength. He wants to heal you. Invite him right now. The same God that you experienced in 4 Mason Road is exactly the same God that you can experience right now. It might be a different type of experience, but it's an experience. It's a unique experience. Father, we are believing God for encounters as we invite you in. Give us wisdom when we talk to people. I pray we would not limit salvation to this house, to this room, but we would have the confidence to share our faith on a one-to-one. I pray that this week we would have God encounters in Starbucks, in Costa, in the office. I pray that this week people in our church would lead people to Jesus. I see people talking to people. I'm getting a picture of people talking to people even at a petrol station this week, and you see an old friend from school, and the Holy Spirit is going to prod you to walk over and begin to speak and share the gospel and pray. You may never see that person again. Could be the postman, it could be anyone, but this week you're going to have God encounters. Don't limit salvation to this room. Salvation is going to break out of this room. Salvation is going to break out of the four walls. Father, we are going to see a Holy Spirit encounter in our city. We're going to see literally lights coming on all over the county as people find you on a one-to-one personal Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, Rach, let's pray.
What a powerful, powerful message. The presence of God is right where you are, wherever you are listening from right now. And he's inviting you to a personal relationship with him. And just as Pastor John brought that incredible message about inviting him in, not putting him in a box, but inviting him into your personal space, into your emotions, into your past, into your present, into your future, the God that made you, that knows you, that loves you. It says in Ephesians 3 that he wants to strengthen you internally. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you will be able to be rooted and grounded in love. Jesus wants to come into your heart, dwell in your heart. There's nothing smaller than the very internal thoughts and feelings and the makeup of who you are. There's nothing smaller, more intimate than your very heart. And he wants to make himself at home in your heart, that you can be rooted, that you won't be drifting to and fro with everything that's happening in this day and age, but that you will have an absolute assurance knowing that you are loved, young person, older person, families, husband and wife. Maybe you've been coming to church or watching online for a while, but you haven't yet said yes to Jesus coming into that small place inside you. Because when he comes in, he actually then wants to expand your life and give you a purpose and a hope and a future. I remember I wasn't in a church setting when I invited Jesus to come into my heart. I was in my bedroom. I'd had a dream that all my family had all gone to heaven, just as a little girl, and that I was left behind. And I saw Jesus in my dream reaching out to me saying, come on, darling. Come on, Rachel. Come on. I want you to be with me. And I remember his eyes of love looking to me with such love. He's looking at you now with such love, no matter what your past has looked like, no matter what you're feeling right now, no matter what disappointments or fears or doubts that have encompassed you, he's looking at you with love and he's saying, come to me now. I want to give you rest. I want to give you peace. I want to know you personally. I want this big life and the bigness of our God to be experienced. And it starts with something small, saying yes to Jesus. I remember getting out of my bed, kneeling on the floor on a cold January morning with ice on the windows, saying, Jesus, come into my heart. I remember crying as a little girl because I felt his love tangibly. He wants you to be rooted and grounded and tangibly feel his love, so simple that even a child can understand. So if that's you, I wonder if you feel comfortable to put your hand on your heart or pray with a friend afterwards. But if you feel comfortable, just say the prayer after me right now, and we're going to say it together with our staff in the room. And the Bible says if we believe in our heart, he will come in. So we're going to believe to encounter the living God. And maybe you've once known God and served God, but you've got cold in your heart and you've drifted away. And your relationship has become a thing of the past. Bring it into the present. Bring Jesus into the center. Make him personal again. That's you. Say yes right now. Pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. Right now, I ask you into my heart. Take all the guilt and the doubt and the fear. I trust you. Forgive me for my past. And thank you for a hope for my future. I want to be a personal. I want this to be a personal relationship. Let my roots go down deep. I believe. I believe. I believe. Now, the more you say you believe, the more you'll feel a stirring in your heart. He's with you. He's for you. This is just the first step. The second step is to let someone know, someone in your family. Maybe you want to call someone, text someone. Maybe you could pop something in the chat. We'd ask if you could pop the screen. On the screen is a number. Text that number because we would love to call you this week. We would love to chat again and about that personal connection you've made. And maybe you can jump online and download the Bible app and read more about this Jesus that loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life. So a huge welcome to the family of God. You're welcome to keep tuning in on Soul Church. And as Pastor John said, make sure you're part of a small group or talk to someone, tell someone, and be comfortable that you have invited him in. He's at home in your life today. And keep making it real. Keep making it personal. A huge welcome to the family of God.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.